drum roll, drrr, untying tongues. Now, tongues is, the purpose of tongues is to unify, because the heart of the Father, when we talked about last week, was for the lost. But let's be honest, in this day and age, most people, due to the abuses, the wrong time, the wrong place, have just cut the whole thing off together and threw the baby out with the bathwater. And I want to clearly just teach you from his word, his purpose on why we have tongues and what it's used for. And mostly because many of us want the manifest presence of God. Anybody want God to show up in a powerful way? Because he's here all the time, but we want more of him. We want to see that tangible manifestation of his presence. But most of us want it on our terms. We want it on this dignified terms. And so sometimes we cap it off. So we say, God, we want all of you that we can get. But hey, don't want to act a fool. And definitely don't want to pray in that weird stuff. You know, I want to be one of those people. And we kind of cap him off. And we wonder why sometimes we don't sense his presence because of our pride getting in the way. So today I'm talking about untying tongues and the time and the place to have it. But number one thing, you got to go back to the Holy Spirit's heart. Because most of us, anybody raised in churches? Yeah, anybody raised in spirit-filled churches, whether it be on the charismatic Pentecostal spectrum? Anybody ever heard a tongue and the inside of you is like screeching, screaming, like nails on a chalkboard? I'm going to talk about why. And I'm going to talk about the other great uses for it. It's a beautiful thing. So number one to review, getting to know the Holy Spirit's heart. His number one interest, God's number one interest, review. What is God's number one interest? What is his heart for? First and foremost, we talked about it last week. Somebody shout it out. The lost. God's number one interest above all things is his heart for the lost. Pop quiz number two. What is God's second interest above all things? Number one is for the lost, and number two is what? Spirit-filled. Thank you. So the question that we kind of ended on was, if God's number one interest, his heart, above all things, is for the lost, and the second is to be spirit-filled, why do we Christians, once we get spirit-filled, turn then to the church and not to the lost? And it rings in the air because it even convicts my heart a little bit. So, Lord God, if your interest above all things is for the lost, and the second one is to become spirit-filled, not so we can sit around and bless each other in small circles, but so we can go reach the lost with power, so they can become saved, so the lost become found, so they can get spirit-filled, so they can go out and reach the lost, right? And you see this cycle, but we get stuck. Why do we get stuck? It is our selfishness sometimes, which is birthed out of immaturity. Ooh, that's rough. I'm telling you, it convicted my heart a little bit. Which is why God's number three, the third interest he has, is for spiritual growth. The first interest is for the lost. You see that throughout the Gospels. Second interest is to become spirit-filled. You see that throughout the book of Acts. And the third one is for spiritual growth, and you see that throughout the epistles, which is all the writings past Acts. And it's because he loves us so much, and he gave us these gifts, but he's going to teach you how to use them. Because, you know, a gun in someone that is untrained is going to do a lot of damage. But I come from a great hunting and fishing family, and we never saw guns as a danger. We saw them as this thing that, man, it fed the family. I ate venison at least 3 times a week growing up. So you got to know how to use what you've been given. So we're talking about this thing called spiritual maturity. Raise your hands if you're a parent. What's like one of the kids' first words, normally mom, dad, and mine, right? So, you know, a child is normally concerned with what is theirs. My food, my toys, my mom, my dad, my ministry, my revelation. Think about it. You know, an amazing parent is always selfless, and they lay down their lives for their children. It's not what my kids do for me. It's how I can lay my life down and serve my kids. So the true test of maturity is selflessness. It's about the loss, and it's about unifying the body of Christ. And the sad part is the gift of tongues because it's been sadly abused with good intentions mostly. It's caused more division than anything. So I want to pull this back together. Remember, God's interest first and foremost is for the lost. Second is that you be spirit-filled. Third is that we grow up spiritually. And that selflessness, that laying down of our lives, so in the spirit of unity, we come together. So if you want to turn, most of my scriptures, and I got a lot for you today. Like I said, I cut my notes in half again. Ephesians chapter 4, you can turn there. And if you guys don't mind, can we put the scriptures on the screen? I know most of the time you do, but I normally teach out the Amplified. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. And while you're going there, you can write on the side 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because that's where some of the most clear teaching is on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So Ephesians chapter 4, 2 through 4. Remember how last week the whole crux was on the purpose, the heart of the fathers for the lost? This part 2, I was on a ski lift praying because my friend Vanessa was learning how to ski. And so I was kind of skiing by myself, and I was like praying and praying and praying. I was like, Lord, I have this message put together, but I want to hear your heart. What is your heart? And here I'm praying in the spirit, alone on a ski lift. Nobody's listening to me, okay? I'm not that weird, okay? I was alone on the ski lift, and I'm just praying, 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 and I heard whisper up in my heart, unity. My heart's for unity. I said, okay, well, we're going to roll with that. So the whole Ephesians chapter 4, go and read the whole thing because it's beautiful. It says in verse 2 through 4, it says, with all humility and gentleness, unselfishness, with long suffering, also known as patience. So be patient with other believers as they're learning. Bearing with one another in love. Because a parent, when their kid messes up, they still bear with them in love, right? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called. And it goes on in Ephesians chapter 4. It talks first and foremost about the unity, his heart. It's the spirit of unity. And then it goes on and talks about some of the gifts that he's given and talks about growing up in maturity and unity again. So always keep that in the context here. All right, so a little bit here. What exactly does it mean to be spirit-filled? When are we spirit-filled? Well, I'm not going to spend too much time on it because we did last week, but there are two experiences. They're separate. Sometimes they happen back-to-back. Sometimes they happen with some years in between. But the number one thing is salvation. Salvation. What is salvation? The best scripture anybody can ever memorize is Romans 10, 9 through 10. And the essence of it is when you believe in your heart and you say with your mouth that Jesus, you're my Savior, you're my Lord, you died and you rose again for me and I give you my life. Believe in your heart and say that with your mouth, you are saved. And then your spirit is completely renewed. God just flushes out the old and makes you a brand new creature. And the symbolism of that is water baptism. Water baptism is an outward sign, a symbol, a declaration to everybody what God has done internally to us. So when we get born again, a portion of the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us in that complete renewal. But there is this separate experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you go to Acts chapter 1, 4 through 5, it talks about, basically, Jesus commanded us. It wasn't an option. He straight up commanded us, wait, don't go anywhere until you receive the Holy Spirit. Because Acts chapter 1, 4 through 5, said Jesus commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but wait for what the Father had promised. For John baptized with water, but in many days from now, you will be baptized, placed in, introduced to the Holy Spirit. Okay, the word baptize means to completely immerse. It's like a full dunk. Anybody dunk their donut like way in there? I don't like to like spritz my donut. I like to dunk my donut the whole way in. Like I lose half my Oreo at the bottom of my cup. It's just the way I need a spoon for all the crumbs at the end. I like dunking. All right? It's an immersion. To the point of, and the Greek word comes from this word that they use to stain. Interesting. So when you dunk something in to the point where it totally changes. So I remember somebody once told me it's like getting pickled. Anybody do pickling? My grandmother does pickling. There we go. So once you pickle the cucumber, can the cucumber ever go back? No, it is forever changed. It got pickled. So think about it. That's what baptize is. There's no going back. So when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave you. You get pickled. You just get, isn't it great? It's kind of fun. No going back. No cucumber for me. I get pickled. So an immersion, a stain, a dyed. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus told his disciples, "When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, ability, efficiency, and might, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So you're going to get so much power, so much influence, so much filling of me. Don't go anywhere because you're going to need it to be what? Witnesses. And not just, but start here in your backyard. You're not going to make the best international missionary if you can't tell somebody about Jesus in your backyard, right? So York, Pennsylvania, the United States, and the whole world. All right, so to fill comes the word satiate. Satiate means to fill to the point of excess, to overflow. Luke 24:49 says that we become clothed with power. So when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, him as a person, he is not an it, he is not a power, but he is powerful. We get clothed with his presence. And I actually, what I tore off over here, you see all this? I had so much teaching on all the instances in the book of Acts. So go read Acts for yourself. It's incredible. About that separate experience of when people get spirit-filled, because there's an evidence. People saw, there were witnesses that saw and heard a change. There was something very, very different about people once they got filled with the Holy Spirit. And the initial evidence is tongues, and another evidence is prophecy. And we'll talk about that on another time. I didn't have time to do it. So Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. This is when everybody gathered together in the upper room. And I taught on this last week, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it. But they gathered together in the upper room in unity. They were of one mind. They were of one accord with one purpose. And the Holy Spirit is so honored when we come together on common ground with one purpose. You want to know why sometimes the tangible manifestation of God, you're not feeling it? Because we have division in the air. We got division in our heart. We have our own motives to promote my ministry. I want my revelation. I want my meat. I want... He's not honored in that. He's honored in a spirit of unity where a selflessness, we that are spiritually mature, lay our lives down to help feed and grow up the less mature. He shows up. He's always here, but you start seeing this overflow excess of his presence. All right, so on the day of Pentecost, in unity, Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, they're gathered together, and the Holy Spirit rips through the upper room with a mighty, rushing, roaring wind. And then they say tongues of fire started resting upon them. And in the Old Testament, fire was just a symbol of God's manifest presence. So the presence of the Holy Spirit started manifesting in a very tangible way. And these things called tongues show up. All right, so a tongue is simply a language. So if you go to another country, anybody been to another country? Well, my family went to another country. Everybody thought we were Norwegian, which was a compliment, because if they say you're an American, it's normally an insult because they just think we're really brash. But so they go, "What's your native language? What's your native tongue?" And we say English. So tongue is a language. So that's what they mean. It's your language. No, it's a language, okay? So it's an outward sign of an evidence that God's doing internally. So the proof's in the pudding. Now, with my teens, I've gotten jelly donuts for everybody for this one, but sorry, guys. I do a lot of visuals. You missed out on this one. Okay, so if you get a jelly donut, you ordered the jelly donut, you know it's a jelly donut, but you really don't get the proof of the pudding in the jelly donut until it's overflowed to excess. You ever get the one where it's like squirting out the side? Okay, and if you give it a little squeeze, I mean, it just shoots out. I love strawberry jelly donuts. Love them. Okay, so it's like that. It's an outward sign of what's already in you. And when you get so much of God, he just overflows and it gets messy a little bit. I like jelly donuts. So when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, remember the seltzer water? There is great power in seltzer water, right? And when you shake it up, be being filled, and you shake it up, and you shake it up, and you shake it up, gathering together with other people, talking about Jesus, getting in the Word, getting up early, spending time with Him, just worshiping as you're going on your walk and doing laundry. You get shaken up, and all of a sudden, you get around someone that needs what you got, and it just bursts out of you. I know, but I love y'all too much. And also, I'm concerned about this sound equipment. Mr. Mark, I take good care of this stuff, okay? That's right. But you can choose. You can be spirit-filled and shake it up. And you can choose to keep the lid on, right? Truth. But I'll tell you what, it's real hard. The more stirred up you get, the more in love and excited and in fellowship with Him, He just bursts out of you. You wonder why the apostles, when people were following them around for healing, asking for, you know, gold and, hey, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you. It just burst out of them. Healing power. Because they just had so much love and so much presence. Just burst out of you. And it's for everyone. Acts 2, 38 through 39. It says, the promise of the Holy Spirit is to and for you and your children, to and for all that are far away. So some people go, well, I'm not really that spiritual. I don't, you know, this whole baptism in the Holy Spirit thing, the tongues thing, that's for those superstar Christians. That's for those people that have never said a four-letter word in their life. I actually thought about that. There was a time in my life where I really thought God couldn't use me in certain gifts because I just wasn't, you know, the superstar that used to be behind this pulpit. I disqualified myself without even thinking that God likes to use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God just might use some silly, blonde-headed, goofy, tween-looking person to go talk to other people because you defy the odds. You just, huh? Really? Yeah. Okay, I guess God gets the glory on that one because I can't figure that one out. So what is the purpose of tongues? This is what we're leading up to. If you go to 1 Corinthians, and you kind of keep your bookmarkers in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14 right now. But Paul wrote the book of Corinthians to the city of Corinth. Let me tell you a little bit about Corinth. Corinth was to the pagan world. So these are to like non-believers that did really awkward things to worship idols. We won't go into that. To the pagan world, people say, I'm going to Corinth. It's like, oh, you're going to Vegas. Yeah. Hey, what happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. You have some fun out there. That's what it was. Okay, like, if you were a Corinthian female, or if even you, actually, if you even weren't, and they go, oh, she looks like such a Corinthian. That's like saying, oh, she looks like such a hoe. It was a major insult to be called a Corinthian. Okay, these were the people. Did you know the word fornication actually came from the Greek word from the title of Corinthians, which I couldn't pronounce? And I was like, man, talk about a rep. Talk about a rep. It was a bum deal to be from Corinth. You did not flash your driver's license where you were from. Okay? And Paul spent the most amount of time out of all the books in the Bible because he loved them, because they were new believers. They were baby Christians. He loved them. He didn't beat them upside the head, but he lovingly corrected. Because listen, they were moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So were all the other churches. But their flesh and their immaturity, their baby Christian ways, were making a crazy mess and giving them a really bad reputation. And it was causing division and confusion. And that's why. Now listen, the gifts of the Spirit moving did not make them a crazy mess. They were a crazy mess to begin with. Follow? Okay? So they had to work on their character. They had to work on how they represented Christ so that God could use those gifts and give Himself glory. And that's why Paul spent a lot of time talking about it. All the gifts were manifesting in all the other churches. But they need a little extra TLC. So the Holy Spirit is not going to make you one crazy, fleshy mess. Your character will make you a crazy, fleshy mess, which is why God's third interest is what? Spiritual growth. Growing up into spiritual maturity. Also notice this, no matter how many extremes were going on in that church, Paul never said, okay, I need you to stop speaking in tongues until you get your life together. But he taught them how to do it. He didn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And I'll be real with you, most Christians have, because they've just seen it poorly represented. People in pride, arrogant, self-promoters. It's all about me, Jesus. You ever heard that song? It's all about you. No, it's all about me. It is what it is. That's how some of our church services are. My ministry, my revelation. So we're going to talk the four types of tongues. And I talked about one last week, so I'm not going to spend as much time on it. But there are four types of tongues. Anybody remember tongues number one? There are two for public and two for private. Tongues number one that I talked about last week happened on the day of Pentecost. It was tongues as a sign to the unbeliever. So you can write that down. Tongues as a sign to the unbeliever. And listen, probably the most evident one is in the day of Pentecost, which we just talked a little bit about. But Acts chapter 2, 5 through 6 and 11 talk specifically about this. And it says, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. It was the DC of the Middle East. And when they heard the loud noise come, everyone came running. So it gathered together all these non-Christians. And they were just bewildered. They couldn't figure it out because they kept hearing their own languages being spoken. And the people heard these things, and they heard their own languages telling about the wonderful things God had done. They were prophesying. They were telling how great God was. They were telling the gospel, the good news, and it gathered everybody's attention. They're just walking around going, they do not look like they're from Nigeria. They definitely do not. Like, okay, we know what some Nigerians look like. We know what some Norwegians look like, and they don't look like the language, but they're speaking it perfectly in the natural dialect. And it caught their attention. That's interesting. And they started listening. What is going on? So the first use of tongues is a sign for the unbeliever, and it's done in public. And the Holy Spirit just takes over, and he starts just telling of his greatness in an actual earthly language. So I've heard of this happening. It's never happened to me personally. On the mission field, people are trying to communicate the gospel to someone. They meet someone, and they just start praying in tongues. And next thing you know, the person just hears the gospel message. They hear about the glory of God. It never draws attention to the person. It draws attention to God. It's how God gets attention of people that are totally not like you, that probably we are completely irrelevant. We've got no words to reach them in their culture. And God does a creative miracle, a sign and a wonder. So the purpose of tongues as a sign to an unbeliever draws unbelievers' attention to God, not the person, but to God. And it unifies, remember spirit of unity, bringing believers and non-believers together. So God gets glorified, God shows up, and what happens? The lost become found, the found become spirit-filled, and they go back out and they preach to the lost. Follow this? So a spirit of unity follows this one. Okay, the second one, tongues for interpretation. Okay, this is the second one going on in public. Now, this is the one, I'll be real, most people, this is what caused a lot of people to write off the Holy Spirit, this one. They've seen this one abused probably more than any of them. And this tongue is a heavenly language. It's not spoken in earth. This is God's language. And when it's done in public, such as a gathering together like this or out in the streets, it needs interpretation. Otherwise, they don't think we are crazy. 1 Corinthians 12, 10 through 11 says, another person is given the ability to speak in an unknown tongue, while another is given the ability to interpret. Oh, this is tongues of interpretation. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Now, he's talking about the vocation. He's talking about, you know, there are people that are just known for being travel, they just are known to have a healing ministry. They are known to have a teaching ministry. It's their vocation, okay? It's not that we can't pray for people and then be healed. They just do it all, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just the extra special endowment, an extra special gift. So he's talking about this specific gift for public ministry. Now, I saw my dad. My dad was a great man because I watched him. He was a loving shepherd in the fact he wanted to protect his sheep. And when people would stand up in a congregation, often saw this right after worship. There was just this sweet presence in the air. And someone would give a tongue. And then someone else had that interpretation, or that person had the interpretation, or my dad did. And that interpretation always pointed to God, always drew attention to God. It always flowed in the presence of peace and unity that was going on. It always confirmed what he was speaking through worship or that message that was being spoken. It was a sign, it was a confirmation to these believers. Now, there is a mystery person, I will say, because then you won't figure it out who it was. But there was a person, and I remember as a kid, that had a tongue every single week for a while. Every single week, right after worship, there'd just be this sweet presence in the air. And people are just kind of just soaking in the presence, getting pickled. And he just blah, 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 burst out. And it was like, nails on a chalkboard. And I'm a little kid, but I was like, not the time, not the place. This is so awkward. Check, please. And now bless his heart. Bless his heart. And my dad did. And he would talk to him. And now, first of all, in a situation like that, my dad would, I think at first, just tuned in the Holy Spirit, going, Holy Spirit, let's just cover this one. What's your word for the people? And he would speak. But when he saw a pattern of this in an immature believer that had been a Christian a long time, but immature, follow? Maturity doesn't come with age. Anybody know that? Okay. He corrected them and said, listen, that tongue that you're getting is your personal tongue for your private time with God. And it's not building up. It's not causing unity. It's not confirming the word that God's already placing. And it is hanging in the air like an awkward stink. Who did it? Who did it? It's awkward, okay? And we're like, oh, Jesus. Just kind of put a stench in the air over worship. And I saw that person start to grow in their walk with God in that particular gift. Oftentimes, like I said, and you'll sense in your heart when it's of the Lord, because it just flows. It just flows with what God's doing. There's no stank in the air. There's no screech. There's no internal red flag. And it always points to who? God. And it points to what he's saying. And it confirms what's going on in worship. And it confirms in the word and the message of that day. It confirms in someone's heart about what they're going through. It always is confirmed. But when it hangs in the air like a stank, that's when you know it was for personal, your personal tongue. Because when we do tongues publicly in a gathering together, it should be interpreted. What is an interpretation? It's not a word-for-word translation. Okay, I took 6 years of Spanish. Como se dice? I'm horrible. Have the worst accent ever. Okay? It is. All right, but when you translate something, it's word-for-word, right? I used to have exercises where I had a paragraph in English and I had to translate it to Spanish and vice versa. Well, interpretation is kind of like the Cliff Notes. It's a heavenly language. It doesn't perfectly translate. Remember last time we were trying to translate the word parakletos, which was the Holy Spirit, and there was not one word that could translate it. So it's going to be interpretation. So sometimes if someone gives a tongue, it's going to be really long, and someone's interpretation might be really short. And your brain's going, I don't think that was it. Interpretation is the general gist, okay? It's an interpretation. This is what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to say. I'm being honest with you, I'm growing in this because I think I've seen it so abused, it makes me second guess myself when I get a tongue. And there was especially a lot, I was getting this a lot early last year, and I would be in worship, and I'd just be worshiping in God, and I'd have this like tongue bubbling up. And I'm like, I don't want to be the weird one. God, they already think I don't fit the mold enough, and I know I've just started preaching. I don't want to be pegged. I don't want to leave the stink, you know? So I'd like keep it to myself, but then I would ask God, I would just do it to myself. You'd see me, if you ever saw me in the front row, and I was like, I got my hand over my mouth, and I'm like getting this tongue, and I'm like, oh, and the worship's rolling. And I would ask God to interpret it. I would just be straight up. Now listen, this might be something this year I step out in more because here I'm clearly teaching it. And God actually says, and we're going to cover it later in this message, that tongues, public tongues, it's not a good idea to do them in an uneducated group. So Christians that have no clue what you're talking about, or a group of unbelievers. So now that we're teaching on it, I believe in the name of Jesus, there's going to be more freedom and liberty. So I would keep it to myself, and I'd ask God what he was saying. And then I would get that microphone, and a few of you guys remember me doing this last year. I get the microphone, I was like, oh, my hand would shake, I was nervous. And I would sing out what the Spirit of God just gave me. And I didn't know what I was going to say, but I was just going to roll in English. And God would give me a really simple thought. And it always tied into what was going on in worship and confirmed a word. And so I've moved in this one where I interpreted my own tongues. And out of love, and probably, I'll be real with you, insecurity, I wasn't about to burst out into it. But hey, this is a new year, right? So I've seen this happen. I also, when I would get this is how cool God is, because he loves you and he covers you while you're growing. I would get that and be bowling, and I'm put my hand over my mouth. And I'd look up on stage and I was like, oh, please, somebody else get this one, because I can sing. It's like remember when I was talking about the public vocation? I can actually sing. I was in choir since sixth grade. I can carry a tune, cannot harmonize for the life of me. Vanessa Brown, this is why you're in my life. This girl can sing and harmonize. Amazing. Ronnie, Kathy, this whole family, amazing. They are called to worship, okay? I can sing. I am what you do, a backup singer. Okay, Stevie Wonder and the backup singer in the black dress snapping, that would be me, okay? So I would look up on that stage and I'd be, oh, Jesus, let someone else hear this one. And all of a sudden, I would see, Ronnie's gotten these before. I've seen Amber roll out in this. And they would just hear a spiritual song and it'd be in English. And it was exactly what the Spirit of the Lord was speaking to my heart. And I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. And that's how he moves in it. Like I said, I'm growing in this. So might be a good year for it, huh? Everybody excited? Doesn't have to come from me, come from you guys too, right? All right, so, okay, let me see where we're at here. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 12 through 13 says, since you are so eager to have the special abilities of the Spirit, and remember it says to covet these gifts, you're to want them, which is good. Seek those who will strengthen the whole church. So anyone who speaks in tongues should also pray for the ability to interpret what has been said. Without interpretation, it's going to hang in the air. It's not going to build up. It's not going to cause unity. It's not going to confirm, and it's not going to point to God. So you need an interpretation. And once again, not everybody in the church is called to this public ministry, this public vocation. And even those who are, honestly, they shouldn't have. I'm just saying, like, the cue the orchestra every time right after worship, Mr. So-and-so, blah, 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 have this thing. It's as the Spirit moves. It's not, now this is my time for my ministry. It's my ministry time right about now. Cue the orchestra. Here we go. Same thing with dancing. You sing dancers. It's as the Spirit wills. It's as the Spirit moves. And if you start to think, now it's my spotlight time, cue the orchestra, that's when you know you're about my ministry, my revelation, my gift. Just flow with the Spirit of God. Don't overthink it. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 22 through 23. It says, thus unknown gifts, and this is talking about the first type of tongues. Remember, there are four kinds, and we're just covering number two right now, are meant for a supernatural sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers, while prophecy, inspired preaching and teaching, and interpreting the divine will and purpose is not for unbelievers, but believers. All right, I don't have time to teach this. This is one I actually had to tear a page out of my notes to get it all done today. But prophecy, which is speaking forth God's will, God's word, what he's trying to say, it always lines up with his word, and it's as the Spirit moves, builds up the body of Christ. Okay, tongues plus interpretation equals prophecy. That's about as much math as you're going to get today. Tongues plus interpretation equals prophecy. So you can just skip right to it and get to the English part if you want. All right, now this is the crux, and this is what you got to learn, because this is where we've abused it. Verse 23 says, if the whole church assembles together and all are speaking in other languages, and people who are uninformed, uneducated Christians, they don't know what you're talking about, or unbelievers come in. So you got a lot of visitors, you got a lot of people from maybe a denomination that doesn't believe this is for today, or honestly, a lot of Christians, even Spirit-filled ones, don't read their Bible. Ooh, not a good habit to be in. So you're going to be uneducated. And they come in, they will say, you are out of your mind. That's what it actually says. So they're going to think it's a crazy circus. If there are like, let's say 80 people in here, all bursting out in tongues, and there are like four people in the back going, okay, all right, so you got the car running. Can you just hit the, you know, the new cars where you can start the engine? Like they reach out, they grab their keys. Okay, car's running up. We got 3 minutes to get out of here without causing a scene. That's what happens. That's why a lot of spirit-filled churches, the front door's as big as the back. Think about it. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 28 through 30. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? You get what Paul's saying? He's a little redundant. But do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? He's talking about the public ministry, the vocation. Sherry Cashman can sing. I am not called on the worship team. You're welcome. Okay? Everybody has the ability to lay hands on the sick and pray the prayer of faith and they'll be healed. Everybody has the ability to pray in tongues if they so want to, but not every single person is called to that public, do it every week kind of deal. A lot of people in here, our elders teach downstairs. There's a lot of people that can teach in a home group or teach their friend what the Spirit of God's doing, but is everybody called to get up every Sunday and teach? And some people are like, thank you. So that's what they're talking about. All right, so the purpose of the second one, remember the first one is tongues as a sign to the unbeliever when it's actually an earthly language. The second one we're talking about here is tongues for interpretation where it's a heavenly language. It doesn't perfectly translate, so we have to interpret. Okay, the purpose of it is to unify the church. Draws attention to God, not the person. So God gets the glory. It affirms the message, the word that God's being spoken. It never disrupts the flow of the Spirit. It never causes division or unity. And you'll know in your heart, because you'll get this flaming red flag, and it feels like nails on a chalkboard. And listen, Paul lovingly taught those immature believers. He didn't say, you are never allowed to talk in tongues again. No, he lovingly came alongside them and taught them how to do it right. So cover other people in love. Remember we talked about in Ephesians chapter 4 when it talks about a spirit of unity? There is patience that comes with it. And cover people in love. All right, the third one. This is my favorite. And I had to tear out like 2 pages of notes on this one. So I'll probably end up preaching on this in another time, maybe in another month. Tongues for private, personal prayer. And this is a personal edification in prayer. Edify in the Greek means to build up or to strengthen. See this? See building blocks? It actually comes from the Greek word. It means to construct. So I want you to think about these. Look at this. All right, so now you can build up God. You can actually worship him perfectly on his language. Acts 10, verse 46 says, "For they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God." Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 2, I'm going to read this, go back and study it. It says, "One who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands or knows what the meaning is. Because in the Holy Spirit, he utters secret truths, hidden things, not obvious to the understanding or mysteries. But on the other hand, the one who prophesies, actually I'm just going to skip because we talked a little bit about that. But verse 4, he who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and approves himself. All right, so if you had a really great time at church, you feel really built up, right? I feel strong. I feel full of love. I feel full of joy and peace. I got a great word. And we leave on Sunday. And what's the day after Sunday? Monday. People are like, you got a case of the Mondays? Yeah, is it obvious? And what happens? You go to work and then you see some like, just like a really bad report on your desk. All right, and then somebody else gives you the stink eye in the workroom, okay? Then you got home from work, and you forgot to take the trash out, and your wife gives you an earful. Okay, then your kid has a full-on temper tantrum and stinks up his diaper right after you changed it. I mean, come on, give me a minute here. Gosh! Then your best friend calls you up and data dumps on you and tells you about everything you don't need to know about, and you just feel like somebody just dumped mud all over you. That was a nice way of saying it. And then you had one little piece of just,
you left, and then you burnt the meatloaf. Oh, can something please go my way? Life and people will tear you down. Right? Okay, raise two hands if you had a day like that. That's like your Monday. You didn't get through the week and you lost all your bricks. Okay, so this one, I love teaching on tongues for personal prayer because it builds you up. It builds you up. And I don't have time, so don't go there. Isaiah chapter 28, 11 through 12 says, I'm out of breath for all that blocks flinging. For with stammering lips and another tongue, God speaks to his people. And this is the rest, R-E-S-T, with which you have been caused. And this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is refreshing. Bless you. Jude chapter 20 says, you beloved, build yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. I love the Amplified Bible says, make progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher. People are like, what's an edifice? A big tower. So you start grabbing those bricks in God. You start praying in the Holy Spirit, and you start getting built up. Praying in the Holy Spirit, and joy comes. Praying in the Holy Spirit, and peace comes. Praying in the Holy Spirit, vision for your life comes. Praying in the Holy Spirit, you start getting in faith for that spouse that is driving you crazy. Okay? Praying in the Holy Spirit. And listen, that teenage son of yours that is just going hog wild and rolling in at 3 a.m, you start getting vision for his life. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Building yourself up. Singing a spiritual song. And what happened? I just built my tower back. Remember, Holy Spirit last week is a comforter. He's a fortress. He's a strength. He's lion-hearted. You build yourself up. And I'll tell you what, in praying in the Spirit 10, 15 minutes, it's like I just left church. You know, some people spend like 4 hours at church at Sunday if you're serving. Man, built up. And that's why we pray in our personal prayer language. Now, it's good in moderation when believers come together in a corporate prayer because there's not uneducated. They're informed and educated for the purpose of it. And there's not, obviously, non-saved, lost non-Christians there. So it's okay to get together in a corporate prayer and everybody just build themselves up in the Holy Spirit and ask God for direction because he'll speak to you. So there's a time and a place for that. Do you hear? So think about it like this. Our family, we have a very close family, and everybody knows everybody's business. It is what it is. We're very connected on the phone. Listen, if one of your family members is going through something, do you go open up the family biz in front of an acquaintance? You don't have the family meeting in front of people that aren't really in the family. So it becomes awkward, becomes inappropriate, and they just don't understand what you're talking about. So you think about it like this. When there's a gathering together of like-minded believers in prayer with your private prayer language, this is your talk-to-God time, it's going to be awkward if there's non-believers there or Christians that don't believe tongues is for today. So there's a time and a place for everything. And my friend was telling me a story, and I'm going to be honest with you. Her aunt is super weird. Like, there's like a Richter scale of weirdness in the charismatic realm. She's like an 11.5. And if you talk to her after a charismatic service, she's like a 15 on a 10 scale. She is so weird. I'll be honest with you, very not effective in ministry. But man, she talks to Jesus all the time. She's super weird. She was telling her niece, oh gosh, she was at the hair salon, Stacy. I know, Stacy and Kathy, they both work in this business. And she was at the hair washing station. And we've seen Herbal Essence. That commercial is awkward. This is even more awkward. Okay. She's getting her hair washed, and she's bursting out in tongues. Oh, this is the Spirit. Good. Oh, do you feel the Spirit? Getting her hair washed at the salon. Please don't tell people what church you go to. Oh, my gosh. I laughed out loud. I don't know. Sorry, Holy Spirit. But it was really just bad. Okay, that's personal prayer time, build yourself out time is not public time. Weird. So it's like I can't even put words to that one. It's just so bad. So, okay, the use. Remember, there is a signs for the unbeliever. There is tongues for interpretation publicly. And there's a private thing where it builds you up and it strengthens you. It unifies your heart with the Lord God. It unifies your heart with his love and his joy and his peace and his strength. So the fourth one, oh man, time. Goodness, this is good stuff. Bear with me, guys. I'll have to teach more another time. I didn't get to teach this one, but I'm going to spend some time on it and a little bit less on the fourth one, if that's okay with you. He guides us and reveals mysteries. If you think about it like this, the Bible is like a map, and the Holy Spirit's a GPS. My friend has named her GPS Sally. Well, his name is the Holy Spirit. And every wrong turn you take, he gets you back on track. But if you want to know where you're going, well, you hit the little arrow, and you beep, 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 and you get to see the big picture, boop, 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 you see where you're going. That's how the Holy Spirit works, and he reveals mysteries. John 16:13, I don't have time to read it, but it's the Spirit of truth. He guides us into all truth, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come and will happen in your future. After praying in the Holy Spirit, God told me to go to Rhema. There was a bunch of different Bible schools I could have gone to. I actually wanted to go to a different one, kind of break the family chain. And God specifically told me to go to Rhema, but it was after a time of just spending time with him in fellowship. I remember when God told me to go to the college that I was supposed to go to. There's a lot of things. There are mysteries that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you, and he's passionate about telling you his will for your life, and he's also passionate about ministering through you to help some other people. And I have some examples of that, but please go back and study 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, man. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 through 12 says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For his Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep stuff, the deep things of God. And we have not received the Spirit, and now we have received the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." So you're going, okay, you're baiting me right now. So I can know these mysteries. I can know, you know, what God's called me to. I can know what's going on in someone else's life. How? Well, if you keep reading, we're going to talk about interpreting your own tongues. And if you go to verse 13, and like I said, read the whole thing later. I don't have time. It says, "We are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truth with spiritual language to those who possess the Spirit." It's basically as simple as we pray in the Spirit, and we ask God for guidance, and then we pray in English. And what happens is you just start flowing. You ever talk to someone that's fluent in two languages? They can flow in Spanish and English like nothing. We call it Spanglish, right? So it's kind of like doing Spanglish with the Lord. So you're just rolling, you're praying in the Spirit, and then you're praying in English. Praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden, listen, you start praying God's perfect will. And you get real quiet, and you say, "God, what are you trying to say?" And a picture will rise up, direction will rise up. You'll get a whispering of where you're supposed to go. It could be as simple as what job to take, what car to get, what to get your wife for Christmas. Cheat when you can with the Holy Spirit, okay? He will tell you what to do. And the scripture to clarify on this is 1 Corinthians chapter 14 through 15 says, "For I will pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive." I don't know what I'm talking about. So what am I to do? "I will pray with the Spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, and I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. I will sing with my spirit, and I will sing intelligently." And we're kind of talking about that spiritual song. It's that ebb and flow. Like I said, finish out reading 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There's some real good stuff on it. But we have the mind of Christ. We have the ability to communicate with him through the power of the Holy Spirit, to know his thoughts, his feelings, his purposes, and his heart. And he wants to tell you what's up if you give him a little time to talk to you. So you may pray in the Spirit and then pray in English and then just get really quiet. Just go, "Holy Spirit, what do you want to talk to me about?" I do this all the time. I'll pray in the Spirit. I'll get in the Word. I'll read God's Word. I'll pray in English a little bit. And then I'll just get real quiet going, "Holy Spirit, you've prayed perfectly through me in your language. What do you want to talk to me about?" And he'll just start speaking to your heart. He'll start dropping some stuff in you. It's like digging a well. You dig, dig, dig a well. Anybody gone to the beach as a kid? And you dig, 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 dig through the sand. And all of a sudden you hit water. You're like, "Yes! I hit water!" It just rises up. It's like a well. And there's scriptures for that, but I don't got time for it. Listen, he uses this gift It's not just for you to tell what's going on in your future, but oftentimes the Bless Me Club just wants to stay here, but it's also to minister to other people. And I've had this happen with my youth. I'll be praying in the spirit, just praying in the spirit, no real direction. And I'll be like, okay, God, what should I pray for? And I just pray in the spirit, and all of a sudden I'll see somebody's face. And I'll just start praying, and then I'll start praying things that I know to pray for them about, that I know they're going through. And when I run out of words, I just pray in the spirit. Well, I had a situation last year, I believe it was last year, one of my teens that I had worked with, and I did not have a close relationship with him. It was a teen guy. And that would, you know, I'm a youth pastor, I'm female, I pastor, but I have to be very careful. There are certain boundaries you need to respect with the opposite sex. And his face kept coming before me, and I'm not close to this kid. I wasn't close to him when I was in Oklahoma. And I just kept seeing his face. And I was like, Holy Spirit, what are you trying to tell me? So I'd pray in the spirit, and I heard suicide. I said, okay. So I started praying, and I started praying in English against those thoughts. I started praying against depression. I started praying against hurt in his life. I started praying for laborers, that God would send people to him. I didn't have his number. I didn't have a way of getting hold of him. I didn't even remember his last name, but I knew his first name. Shock, Holy Spirit brought it to me. I called a friend of mine in Oklahoma, and I described what this kid looked like, and I knew his first name. I said, do you know who I'm talking about? I hadn't been to Tulsa and seen this kid in 2 years. She goes, I know exactly what you're talking about. I said, can you send some men from our church to go check on him? She said, yes, and it lifted. All of a sudden, I had this release. It was done. I prayed everything that I knew to pray in English and in the spirit over his life, and then I sent someone in the natural labor to go check in on him. This brings us to the fourth kind of tongues for private intercession, and I'm gonna wrap it up here, and I got more, but that's okay. This thing, if you could just remember this, that it's not, number one reason we have the Holy Spirit, his heart is for the who? The lost. And man, he loves us, and he is passionate about encouraging us, building us up, because if we are not built up in strength, how are we gonna help someone else? We can't be strong for someone if we haven't received his strength, right? So yes, it is so good. Man, I pray in the spirit every day, I do. Don't forsake your prayer language. I do it because I'm in a pastoral role. I have to hear from my teens. Another situation I had, I'd be praying in the spirit, and I kept seeing one of my girls pregnant, one of my teen girls. And at the time, I think she was in ninth grade, kept seeing it over and over and over again. I was like, oh gosh, this is going to be an awkward conversation. So I'd pray and I'd pray and I'd pray, and I finally told her what I saw. And the Holy Spirit started just kind of telling me what was going on in her life, and I said, if you continue on this path, in this relationship with your boyfriend, I want to let you know that you're going to repeat what happened in your family with your mom, and you're going to, anyway, I don't need to go into it. All that to say is teen girl statistically, when you have a child and you don't have help from your parents, normally you live under the poverty line the rest of your life. It's just the way statistically it rolls. And so I didn't scare her. I just said, hey, I keep seeing your face in prayer, and whenever every time I do, I see that you're pregnant, and I said, please, I'm begging you. I love you. I love you even more. I said, but please, in this relationship that you have, I said, God's trying to speak a message to you to save you from pain. All kids are a gift, every single one of them, and God will work all things together for good, but in a case with a young teen that's in ninth grade with a mom that can't even provide for her, if God wanted to get her attention and love her and build her up, not beat her up, but build her up. And I want to let you know it's been 2 years and she's not pregnant. So she is changing that lifestyle. So listen, it's so good to hear for other people. Romans 8:26 says, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for when we do not know what to pray, the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, expressed in words. And he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Listen, there's just a tongue that you get, and you'll just get a picture of someone. You start thinking, or all of a sudden, maybe you'll keep thinking, this is an older gentleman. I'm praying for an older gentleman, an elderly gentleman. I don't know who it is, but I'm praying for them. And I read a story one time where someone was praying for an elderly gentleman. They didn't know who it was, and it ended up the roommate got a phone call the next morning. Her grandfather had a heart attack and almost died. There's the tongues where it's deep intercession. You don't know what you're praying for. Ask the Holy Spirit what you're praying for. It'll just be like I said, this kid in Oklahoma. I had this deep, it felt like a 50-pound burden on my heart, and I kept seeing his face. It was deep compassion. Didn't make any sense. Why do I feel so much compassion, so much heart? It's almost like my heart hurt. And God would not let it go. And I was praying and praying and praying. Ask God what you're supposed to do. He'll have you pray. And then he'll normally have you do something in the natural. Call them up. And then when that weight, that compassion lifts, you know the Holy Spirit's released you and he's going to finish what he needs to do in it. And I lost my train of thought for a second there. I just wanted to clarify on that. I'm using up my extra time to clarify this one. Okay. So there's also this groaning thing, and I don't have time to talk about it, but there's something called travail or this, like, anybody, I don't want to be gender specific, but sometimes you've been so overwhelmed with an emotion that you can't even speak. And I know especially mothers and fathers have been there. I know that for a fact over their children. It's like your heart is so broken, you don't even have words, and it's like you can't even cry, like you're just, And that's that groaning thing, and I don't have time to teach it, so it'll be another time. But God will use you. So you just release yourself when you pray in the Spirit to hook up and intercede for people. Intercession means to cause a meeting. So when we intercede, God stands in the gap between a person. Well, Jesus stood in the gap, right? He interceded before us. We had God the Father, and we had us over here. And Jesus, oh, I'm sorry, excuse me. Oh, forgive me. That's cute. Oh, thank goodness for that. That's cute. You changed my diapers. You know how it is. All right, so God had, He stood in the gap for us, and he interceded. So when we intercede in prayer, we stand in the gap, and we cause a meeting between that person and God. We intercede. I had something happen to me. I was woken up in the middle of the night 3 years ago, and it was a family member, and I'm going to spare details to protect them, but I had a dream about this family member, and I knew something was up, something, I didn't know it, it was a person in their life, it was a friendship that was going to get, Satan had harm intended through this friendship, and I woke up, and it felt like a door slammed in the house. Woke up, and I was like, man, did a door slam? What was up? In the middle of this dream about my family member, and they actually lived on in a completely different time zone. So this is in the middle of the night, and I said, I didn't know what to do. I was like, Lord, I don't know what to do. So I just started praying in the Holy Spirit, and then I heard, pray for their protection. Pray against this relationship. Pray that they're protected, that no harm comes to them through this relationship. And I prayed, and I prayed, and prayed, and prayed, and prayed until I fell asleep, and I released, and I called them the next day. And it was very interesting. This particular family member was in the middle of the night, and they were at that time at a very huge concert festival. And I told them what my dream was, and I told them, I said, listen, I don't know what's going on in your life, but there's a relationship that you have, that they have harm intended for you. And I prayed for your safety. So I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know who this person is. Describe what they look for. I said, but the Lord God is trying to save you from pain, trying to save you from harm. And this, my family member goes, oh my goodness, you're right on, because there's this particular person in their life, and they were influencing them in a very negative way. And I can't share the rest of it with you, but God confirmed it in them, and it got them shaken awake, got their attention in God, where they changed where they were, direction they were heading. Another time when I was just praying in the Spirit while I was driving alone in my car, and I was like, why am I praying in the Spirit? I just felt like I was praying for safety. I was like, maybe it's me, I'm driving, maybe I need safety. So I prayed in the Spirit. I was driving to meet friends in Lancaster for probably about 45 minutes. I don't know why. I was the only one in the car, so I was praying in the Spirit, I know I'm praying for safety. I guess I'm praying for my safety. I don't know. I'm not supposed to get in an accident. No flashing red lights. That night, about 2 hours later, I got a phone call from my brother, and he was in a car accident. Didn't have a single scrape on him, bum deal for his car, and it could have been worse. And I was like, I think I was praying for my brother the whole time. God knew what was going to happen. All right, I'm going to stop here. Is that okay with you guys? Love you guys, but I want to respect your time. If I have to sum it all up in this, Acts 9:31, and this was describing the revival that I talked about last week in Samaria. And it says, after the church was spirit-filled, the church throughout the whole of Judea and Galilee Galilee and Samaria had peace and was edified, growing up in wisdom and virtue, walking in the respect of reverential fear of the Lord and the exhortation of the Holy Spirit, continued to increase and was multiplied. So the Holy Spirit brings peace, he brings unity, he builds up the church. And when we honor and respect him, we give him a place, and we're not wrapped up in my ministry, my way of doing things, my meat. We put him first and honor him and reverence him. And we don't want to do anything that takes away from his presence and what he tries to do. The lost are drawn to us, and it builds up the church. So if you're not seeing that, just do a heart check and go, Lord God, number one, am I surrendered to you? Am I holding back? Am I keeping the cap on? Is there more you could do through me? Am I just not wanting to get spirit-filled? And listen, you can be spirit-filled and not pray in tongues. God's a gentleman. In fact, you'll see them because they live a very powerful life, but you can actually choose to keep the lid on. And that's between you and God, but I'll tell you, it's his will that all have the ability and move in this gift, because it's not for you. It's for other people. When he reveals the mysteries of God, oh, saves lives. It really, really does. So don't let people look down on you, and do not look down on other people if they don't pray in tongues. Okay? You hear me that?
You're like a second-class Christian.
Let's flaunt our ignorance here, guys. Do not make people feel bad. Do not condemn people if they don't desire to be spirit-filled or they do not desire to pray in tongues. You just pray for them and love them. And listen, study these four ways that God uses it, because I'll tell you what, when people start seeing you do it the right way, because there's a time and a place for everything, they'll start to desire those things, and God will work on their heart. So number one, do not receive guilt, condemnation, shame. It's not from God if you don't pray in your prayer language. God loves you so much, and he will use you in a powerful way. Period. I know very powerful people that do not pray in tongues, okay? But I ask you just to surrender that area in your life to the Lord and ask him if you want more. And I'm going to close service if everybody could stand up and the elders could come forward. I know it's communion fellowship, but we'll try to stay off to the side over here. Elders, please come forward. And if there is anyone in this house that would desire to pray, to number one, be spirit-filled. Number two, if you haven't gotten your prayer language yet, they will pray with you and it bubbles up. It's like a baby talk. You might say something silly. We don't make fun of babies when they say da, 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 da over and over again, do we? Because they're learning to talk. They're going to say daddy. Give them a week. Okay? But you have to move your lips in faith. We activate in faith. So once again, if you want to be spirit-filled, if you want all of God that you can get, come forward. If you have not spoken in your prayer language, please come forward. They're going to pray for you. And if you used to pray in the spirit, but it's been a long time, they're just going to stir you up in God and pray with you. So we're going to close the service, and I'm going to pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much. I thank you so much for the honor of just speaking in your name, Lord God. And I thank you for our church body, Lord God, as we move into the next place, into the next season, God, that you would grow us up spiritually, Lord God, and you would show us that there is more and show us how to move in these things that we desire to pray in our prayer language in the name of Jesus. God, be with us throughout the week. Protect us, guide us, speak to us about other people and how we can pray for them, intercede for them. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.